This is a new section now, subsection of our division. Braj Bhajan means Raghunuga Bhakti. That's the category. And we've heard that the spiritual world, of the sweetness of Braj is beyond the Upanishads and Vaidhi Bhakti. Shastras are not required for this Braj Bhajan, Raghunuga Bhakti. And now we're going to hear several verses where Prabhupada Saraswati is explaining that we should give up Hari Bhajan and Vaidhi Sadhana to attain Vaikuntha and simply surrender to Radha and Krishna Vrindavan and engage in Raghunuga Bhakti. Gaura Hari Bol. So this is chapter 4, verse 79. Kim Vidya Kula Shila Rupa Vibhave Kim Dhana Yagyal Dibi Kim Vikyati Shate Kim Ugra Tapasa Kim Nyasa Yogadi Bi Kim tatvanu bhavena vishnu bhajane kim tasya vatya bhutte yo vrindavani shamohana rase pi yasena sarvasvadi. What is the use of education, high birth, beauty, submissiveness, and opulence for one who has not been able to accept Sri Vrindavan, which is wonderful and enchanting for even a supreme controller as his life and soul? What is the use for such a person to give charity and perform austerities? What is the use of his vast name and fame? What is the use of his performing sacrifices, accepting the renounced order of life, and practicing yoga? What is the use of realizing the absolute truth? And what is the use of his worship of Lord Vishnu? So we mention here, give up Hari Bhajan and Vaidhi Sadhana to attain Vaikuntha. So this is one verse that supports that idea. What's the use of this Vaikuntha, Hari Bhajan to attain Vaikuntha? You're worshipping Lord Vishnu to attain Vaikuntha. What's the use of tapa and dhan? Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir. First he's telling, what's the use of your material acquirements? And what's the use of your spiritual pursuits? If your material inherited inheritance or your material fortunes and virtues do not bring you to Vrindavan and Radha Krishna Bhajan, it is useless, worthless, high birth, Janmaishvarya Shruti Shribir. Your knowledge, your high birth, your beauty, your humility, and your wealth, these are all blessings of punya karma, good karma. It's useless. If you can't attain Vrindavan with them, what's the point of being Miss World or Miss India or some fantastically wealthy, famous movie star, sports hero? And what's the use of other people that maybe don't have some of those things, but they have wealth, so then they give so much charity, so they're baniyas and charitable persons. What's building schools and hospitals and helping the poor and feeding the hungry and clothing the needy? And what's the use of it if it doesn't end up in Braj and Raghunuga Bhajan? And what's the use of all your tapabalam and severe austerities and self-denial if you don't realize that the goal of life is Braj Bhajan, worship Radha and Krishna? And then, okay, you're serious about moksha, dharmart kamoksha. You're not interested in material promotion or mystic power acquirement, and you want to get mukti to Vaikuntha. What's the use of all that also? So he's throwing out everything but rag bhakti, rag marg. Of what use are scholarship, noble birth, good character, handsomeness, and wealth? Of what use are charity, sacrifice, and other pious acts? Of what use are hundreds of fames? He's a very famous person. You have to meet this person. He's very wealthy. He's very famous. Acha, what's his fame? Oh, this, that. Acha, does he live in Vrindavan? No. Is he a devotee? No. Does he worship around Vrindavan? I don't want to meet that jerk. Why should I meet that jerk?
No, he's so famous, everybody's going to press this, that, movies, channels, TV coverage, international fame. International fame. He's an international superstar. Coming to Bombay. You have to go. He's going to Takatoria, be at the stadium. 50,000 people are going to greet him. He's going to give an address to the people. So what? Such a mundane mudha on the material world. I don't want to waste my time. Huh? It's national news coverage, international news coverage. All the movie stars are going there. All the sports heroes are going there. That's all the more reason why I don't want to go. That's the kind of place I don't want to be. Of what use is severe austerity? And of what use is renunciation, yoga, and other spiritual practices? What is the use of seeing the truth? Of what use is service to Vishnu? Of what use are those wonderful things for a person who has not made very wonderful Vrindavan, whose sweetness enchants even the Lord, his life and soul? So this Vrindavan, it's such an enchanting place that even God is enchanted by it. Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he goes to the most opulent, amazingly glorious places like Mathura and Dwarka, where the wealth and opulence and grandeur and pomp and majesty was thousands of times greater than Indrapuri. And he, all the time, whenever he was in Dwarka and Mathura, he was thinking of the forests of Vrindavan, the Kunjavans and the Yamuna and Giriraj. And he was hankering. And in his own way, he was returning oftentimes to Vrindavan. Different Shastras say that. Because he couldn't live without Vrindavan. There's one verse in chapter 11, verse 38. We can examine that one. Sri Vrindaranya Vase Bhavasi Dridhatara Chaitama Chaitarase Nishchintuham Shaina Kimapi Nagananye Dukam Asmin Sukam Va Santapam Neti Chaitakatam Apinakyam apyasti satkarma matram. No va papa nivritir, natcha hari chalamboja bhakti chateti. Oh, my desires, if you are firmly determined to live in Vrindavan, then I can sleep without anxiety. I do not consider happiness or distress in this endeavor to live in Vrindavan. So living in Vrindavan, maybe I'm distressed. I don't consider it. I'm happy. Oh, whatever. Come say, come saw. My heart will not feel distressed, and I will not perform any pious activities whatsoever. I am unable to give up committing sinful activities. And in fact, I do not have even a tinge of bhakti at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Very interesting submission here. I may be fallen in so many different ways, but I know one thing. I'm determined to live in Vrindavan. And if my desires want to say anything other than live somewhere else or don't live there, why do you want desire to live there or live there? Then I won't be able to sleep. If such desires rise in my mind, I can't sleep. What is this? What this crazy mind is producing? The desire factory. The mind is a desire factory, creating a lot of defective products. A lot of products you have to recall. Whatever products the mind factory creates, you have to recall them because they're defective. bad, like they sometimes make some car and it's some defect in the car. They say, careful, when you drive this car, the steering wheel may fall off. So then they call back the car and hope that not too many people crashed. So our mind is like a factory producing defective desires which cause us accidents. So we shouldn't drive those desires. We should return them to the factory as soon as they come out. As soon as they come out of the showroom, we should drive them right back into the mine and say, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me I should desire to live outside of Vrindavan? Wow. If you make that even more refined and you make the supreme renunciation to renounce Vrindavan to live in Radhakund, then you think, oh, the mind will be saying, oh, but Vrindavan is, you know, you can get Tropicana juice. In Vrindavan you can get pizza on call, home delivery. In Vrindavan you get ice cream and restaurants. And Radhakund there's nothing, no pizza, ice cream, restaurants, nothing. There's nothing here but Radharani's mercy and Giriraj's mercy and Krishna's mercy. The mind is telling, come back, come back, come back to Vrindavan. Very tricky fellow, that boy. Oh, my desire. So that's interesting. Have a dialogue with your desires. Usually we don't have time to have a dialogue. As soon as they come out, we're on the track. It's like you pull the plane out of the hangar and it automatically flies in the air. It doesn't even go down the runway. Usually pull the plane out of the hangar. Hangar means the garage, by the way, not your coat hanger. A coat hanger and an airplane hanger. So then they pull it out and they taxi over across the runway and find their time to take off and take off. But desires, as soon as they come out of the hangar, they are in the air. You don't even have time to talk. Oh, these 35,000 feet and cruising at an altitude of 660 kilometers. Look out, those that are sitting on the right-hand side of the plane can look out the window and see Mumbai in the distance, evaporating rapidly as we proceed towards Vrindavan. Don't be afraid and don't jump out of the plane, but we will get you there safely soon. So this is, he's talking desires. Our desires don't talk, they walk. They walk, they stomp. Our desires don't walk, they stomp, they tromp. And they control us. Oh, my desire, listen, Suno, sit down, wait a second. If you're determined to stay in Vrindavan, then do it. I shall remain here with no other concern. I don't care for happiness, distress, mental anguish, pious deeds, freedom from sin, or the splendor of Hari Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service to Lord Hari's lotus feet. So, of course, Lord Hari in this case means Vishnu. Vishnu Bhakti. So this is our category here. Give up Hari Bhajan, desire Vaidhi Sadhana to attain Vaikuntha, just be fixed and determined to live and stay in Vrindavan. Hell, as they say, come hell or high water, I'll never leave Vrindavan. As I've told before in classes, someone lives in Govardhan and there's an eye cap in Barsana and he has cataracts, an old man in Govardhan. And if he goes 10 kilometers or so up the road to Barsana, he can get his cataracts removed from his eyes and then see his Gopal deity again and see Giriraj again without the clouded, impaired vision caused by the eye disease of cataracts. But he says, no, I won't go. I won't leave Govardhan. There are people like that. They won't even leave Govardhan to go to Barsana. I'd rather stay here and be blind. This is obviously sounds fanatical. And I guess it is, but he's fanatically attached to Govardhan. His children and grandchildren are encouraging, oh, come on, don't be so severe. He said, no, this I can't do it. And what to speak of, there's several times there's eye camps in Agra, which is about 1 hour away from Vrindavan, Govardhan area. And they have, but people will certainly never go there. People will never leave Braj Mandal. Not that one has to stay here all the time, but if someone has to go out and bring other people back to Vrindavan by preaching the glories of Vrindavan and Krishna Bhakti, then that's also sanctioned movement. and acceptable and encouraged by the Lord to bring everyone to Vrindavan and bring everyone back home, back to Godhead, which means Vrindavan. So we get a taste of the spiritual world by living in this model of Vrindavan. This is a model home. Sometimes they have a housing development and they have a model home. And you can go in and see what it all looks like if you were to live there. Your living room and bedroom, and creates more of an inviting atmosphere and convinces you that, well, it looks pretty good when it's all decked out, made up. A model home, maybe you've seen. Maybe model apartments, more appropriate to Bombay. So this Vrindavan is a model home. Back home, this is the model of back home. This is Vrindavan. Giriraj is back home, and Yamuna is back home, and Barsana is back. That's all. They're all there, in exactly the same configuration. Govindastali, where old Govinda Mandir is there, that's right there on the banks of the Yamuna. It's on a hillock, and it slopes down to Ramakund, and it further slopes down to Gopeshwar, and then goes to Vamshivat, then Dira Shamir, and Yamuna Pulina, and the Yamuna. It's like that in the spiritual world, and the same topography and geography is here. And the same relationships of space and distance. So living in this Vrindavan is like moving around our home. We go from here to Nidibhan and the Seva Kunjan. The only difference is the spatial consideration. The things will move and without any confines of space limitations. The Ras Mandal may expand to infinite proportions to accommodate billions of gopis, but if you see Yamuna Pulina and the area of the Ras dance now, it doesn't look like it can hold more than a few hundred people before you fall in the Yamuna. And the Yamuna is a mere thread. It's a mere undernourished snake moving through Vrindavan. But in the spiritual world, it's a vastly wide, beautiful, transcendental river, Yamuna Devi. Determined to live in Vrindavan. All my desire. So this, he accepts this desire. Any other desires he doesn't want to hear about. So we can see a nice point here from Prabhunanda Saraswati. We should talk to our desires. They have hotlines, telephone lines they have in America called hotlines. When people are a little bit unhappy and distressed, or maybe induced by drugs, they express suicidal tendencies. And they want to jump off buildings and take sleeping pills and kill themselves. They can't face the reality. So then they have some numbers, phone numbers, where they have a bunch of young people in some office, and they have all these phones, and then people call if they... I guess they're not that determined to commit suicide. They think about it. They call the hotline. And then the people talk to them. Say, why do you want to commit suicide? Oh, my husband is that. So they talk to them. They talk them out of it. They talk them down. By some very compassionate and expert speaking, speaking through this relief, this emergency hotline telephone connection, they try to convince the people and change their minds. Don't give up your life, you're a young man, and be patient, everything will work out. And some people come down and get off the edge of the building and roof and come down and get back to normal life. Sometimes, maybe you've heard of these things. So they talk it down, the hotline welfare workers, they talk down the desires. So we should have a hotline to our soul when the mind is like has suicidal tendencies. The mind has suicidal tendencies and it's very independent, and it expresses these suicidal tendencies by various material desires, which are not very conducive to Krishna bhakti. So when these desires arise in our, these suicidal mayic desires arise in our mind, we should talk to them. We should immediately pick up the hotline and call the soul. Just dial 999 SOUL, soul.
9999 ATMA, Atma. And then what happens is when you, on the other end of the hotline, you either get one, well, there's one person working there, his name is Mr. Chaitya. His last name is Guru. First name is Chaitya, and last name is Guru. And then there's another person sitting next to him, his name, his last name is also Guru. His name is Sri Guru. There's Chaitya, the same family, the Guru family, Mr. Chaitya Guru and his son, Mr. Sri Guru. So either one of those two will answer the phone in the emergency hotline office and try to talk out your desires and get you off the precipice of jumping into the abyss of Maya and therefore restore and rectify your Krishna consciousness by their sanguine guidance at the appropriate time. Guru is always waiting for the call in your heart, and Chaitya Guru Sri Krishna Paramatma Antaryami is also always waiting in the heart to receive any compassionate call from a struggling sadhaka trying to prevent his self-destruction because of his suicidal tendencies manifesting from his desire factory of his mind. The hotline is only a call away. Help is only a call away. Dial 999 ATMA. 99999 69 ATMA. This is the mobile hotline number to Mr. Chaitya Guru. He's in charge of the office, and there are many. He has actually many other. He's in charge of the office, and he has many secretaries there. They're all similar Sri Guru there. So any different Sri Gurus may answer the phone. So, hello, Krishnadas. Yes. So what are you doing? Oh, Sri Guru, I'm not feeling so good. I'm thinking maybe it's too early to get up right now. And it's too cold also. And maybe I can wait till I think it's warmer, although I'll never get warmer just by my thinking. I've been thinking like that for weeks and it still hasn't gotten warmer. I keep thinking it should get warmer, but it doesn't. So if I follow my thinking, I'll never get out of bed. I do have to pass stools, so I have to get out once in a while. And then we think about these things. So, but then we just read somewhere that Prabhupada went somewhere to some function with some disciples in Dr. Mishra's Anand Ashram. And they went there for a couple of days in the country outside of New York City in 1966. And then right in the next room to some disciple and his, proxy wife come girlfriend, Prabhupada was staying in the next room. And the girlfriend woke, or let's say the wife, let's say, woke up the devotee husband and said, "Oh, what's that?" And they weren't initiated, they were just there on that Yatra of Prabhupada, Anand Ashram. And he said, "What's that?" And she said, "I don't know. Swamiji's in the next room. He's been making this noise. Some noise is coming. He's mumbling. I think he's chanting Hare Krishna." "Oh, it's 2:30 in the morning." So Prabhupada got up at 2:30 in the morning to chant his japa. We read that in a book by Mukunda Goswami, who was in the next room. From Prabhupada. Then he heard that and he went back to sleep. Because he wasn't initiated yet, and he was only first time he had ever actually went somewhere with the Swami. A group of Swami's flock, their boys and girlfriends and some of the would-be followers, no one was even initiated at this juncture. They went to the weekend to the ashram. Very wonderful points in this book. It's very satisfying. Remember Prabhupada, inspired by his life's example. So we're lying in our rasais, or rasai, or however many you have, and your night suits and your bathing suits and pajamas or whatever you call them. And then you're thinking, "Oh, it's so cold." They think, "Well, Prabhupada got up at 2:30. It was also winter time. Now it's actually summertime they went. Prabhupada got up at 2:30 to chant his japa, and now it's 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
what am I doing? I'm in Maya. So by remembering the great devotees, then we get inspired also to become great. There's a phrase in business in America, they say, dare to be different, dare to be great. So it's quite different to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 or 5 and chant the holy name. But if we want to become great, great means Mahatma. Mahatma is a great person because he's dedicated his heart, mind and soul to Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So this verse is very wonderful point is making that, listen, mind, your factory of desires, so many desires, and you're not telling me to be determined to live in Vrindavan. You have to quiet, you have to be quiet. If you're telling me all these things, don't live in Vrindavan, I can't sleep. I require some sleep. I can't sleep without anxiety. All my desires, if you are firmly determined to live in Vrindavan, then I can sleep without anxiety. So this shows an intensity that whether one, because you can live in Vrindavan, Prabhupada Saraswati is living in Vrindavan, so it's possible he had an experience at night. There may be some background to this verse. And he woke up and his mind was spinning with desires. He came from South India, from Sri Rangam. And the mind might say, oh, you go back and see your relatives. What about your grandson or your whoever's maybe back there? And you've been here for a month or so or a year. Now you can go back. You know Vrindavan. So he's talking to his mind. Hey, my desires, what are you saying? You're not saying stay here and be. You're suggesting some foolish idea and proposal. I should go somewhere else. You're not telling me to be determined and ignore all these pushings and pullings of the mind and ignore all these wayward desires, distracting ideas, and to take me out of Vrindavan and return to Mumbai, Delhi, my homeland, South India. I'm anxious. I'm full of anxiety. I can't sleep. Now listen, mind, you have to produce one desire. Yes, stay in Vrindavan, stay in Vrindavan, stay in Vrindavan. Then I can rest in peace. Hare Krishna.